Hi, this is Ahmed Sharif and you are listening to From the Newsroom, your daily evening news catch-up show from Deccan Herald. Here are the top news of today, Thursday, August the 13th, 2020. A day after the violent attack on the House of Congress MLA Akhanda Srinivas Murthy in Bengaluru's Kavalbhaira Sandra and subsequent riots, arsoning in DJ Halli and KJ Halli police station limits, the police officials have registered a total of 7 FIRs in both DJ Halli and KJ Halli police stations. According to the police FIR, the riots were the act of SDPI members. The police FIR has revealed about 22 names, out of which 16 have already been identified as SDPI members in the FIR. This apart, there are more than 300 accused persons pertaining to the riot. Of the 7 FIRs, 6 cases have been registered suo motu by the jurisdictional police, and one case against P. Naveen, nephew of the MLA, who allegedly posted the blasphemous post on Facebook. Based on the complaint by a social activist, Firdos Pasha, police have registered an FIR against Naveen. The suo motu cases include a case about the mob attack on MLA's house in Kavalbhaira Sandra, preventing them from discharging their duties and ransacking the public property. Remaining 5 FIRs are with respect to the mob ransacking the DJ Halli and KJ Halli police stations, torching of vehicles. Leader of opposition in the Rajasthan Assembly, Gulab Chand Kataria, has said that the BJP will move a motion of no confidence against the Ashok Gehlot-led Congress government in the State Assembly. The decision was taken in a BJP Legislature Party meeting held today. After the meeting, Kataria told reporters that the motion of no confidence will be moved in the Assembly session beginning Friday. He said the proposal was being finalized. Kataria said, and I quote, "Coronavirus cases are on the rise and the law and order situation is badly deteriorating. Attempts were made to link those who were arrested by the SOG over allegations of conspiring to topple the government with the BJP, but the government failed in this. We will mention all these issues in the proposal," unquote. He said even though the political crisis in the Congress has been resolved, all is still not good in that party, as one is going to east and the other to west. BJP State President Satish Punai said the motion will be moved on Friday. He said the BJP and its ally Rashtriya Loktantrik Party have a total of 75 MLAs, and of them, 74 were present in today's Legislature Party meeting held at the BJP's office. The head of the Ram Temple Trust, Mahant Nritya Gopal Das, tested positive for COVID-19 today and was rushed to the Medanta Hospital in Gurgaon, officials said. According to the officials, Das was rushed to the Gurgaon Hospital on instructions from Uttar Pradesh Chief Minister Yogi Adityanath. Mathura District Magistrate Sarvagya Ram Mishra said, and I quote, "A team of doctors tested him for COVID-19 after the district administration was informed in the morning that he was feeling uneasy," unquote. He added that the process to identify those who had come in contact with Das in the recent past has started. Adityanath has spoken to Mishra as also to Dr. Naresh Trehan, the chairman and managing director of the Medanta Hospital, and requested for immediate medical attention to Das, the official said. Das, who is also the president of the Sri Krishna Janmabhoomi Nyas, was at the Sri Krishna Janmasthan in Mathura till 1:30 a.m. He had performed the Abhishek of the deity at the Bhagwat Bhavan from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Gopeshwar Nath Chaturvedi, a member of the Sri Krishna Janmasthan Seva Sansthan, said, adding that till then, he had not complained about his health. On August the 5th, Das shared the dais with Prime Minister Narendra Modi, Adityanath, Uttar Pradesh Governor Anandiben Patel and RSS Chief Mohan Bhagwat at the groundbreaking ceremony for the construction of a Ram temple in Ayodhya. In a major overhaul of tax administration, Prime Minister Narendra Modi has unveiled faceless tax assessment and appeals to reduce the scope for corruption and overreach by officials, and said a taxpayer's charter is being implemented to ensure a free, fair and transparent tax environment. Launching the Transparent Taxation Honoring the Honest platform through video conference, he said the taxpayer base at just 1.5 crore in India is very low, and urged those who owe taxes to come forward and honestly pay their dues and contribute to nation building. The taxpayer's charter and faceless assessment are the next phases of direct tax reforms aimed at easing compliance and rewarding honest taxpayers as the government looks to rebuild the pandemic-hit economy. While faceless assessment that does not require the taxpayer to visit visit any office or meet any official, the taxpayer's charter will be implemented from Thursday. The faceless appeal will come into force from September the 25th, he said. Now, a central computer will pick up tax returns for scrutiny based on risk parameters and mismatches and then will allot them randomly to a team of officers in any city. The scrutiny by these officers will be reviewed by officers at another randomly selected location. Notices, if any, will be sent only by centralized computer system and taxpayer can respond to them electronically without the requirement of visiting a tax office or meeting any official. The Prime Minister said taxpayers' charter provides for free, courteous and reasonable treatment while treating taxpayers as honest. It expects taxpayers to be honest and compliant and pay taxes in time. The government has undertaken various tax reforms during the last 6 years, including a reduction in corporate tax last year to 22%, from 30% for existing companies and 15% for new manufacturing units, scrapping of dividend distribution tax and faceless assessment. The IT department has also taken several taxpayer-friendly measures over the years. It launched the Direct Tax Vivad Se Vishwas scheme to expedite the resolution of pending tax disputes. The Income Tax Department has simplified compliance norms for startups and has moved forward with the pre-filing of income tax returns to make compliance more convenient for individual taxpayers. Currently, most of the functions of the Income Tax Department, starting from the filing of the return, processing of returns, issuance of refunds, and assessments, are performed in the electronic mode without any human interference. Private entities have to pay heavy penalties in case the trains they operate are delayed or reach the destination early, according to a draft key performance indicators for private operators released by the railways. The draft document released yesterday states that private train operators have to maintain 95% punctuality through the year. Private operators also have to pay penalties for misreporting their revenue or in case of train cancellations for reasons attributable to them. According to the draft, if the arrival of a train at its destination is delayed by over 15 minutes, it will be deemed to have lost punctuality. In this case, the private operator has to pay the railway's extra haulage charge worth 200 km for every 1% reduction in punctuality compared to the guaranteed punctuality, the document states. The railways has said the haulage charge, the fee that private operators will pay to use railway's infrastructure, will be ₹512 per kilometer. If a private train reaches destination at least 10 minutes in advance, the operator will have to pay the railway's penalty in the form of haulage charge for 10 kilometers. Officials said these measures are to ensure that private trains maintain punctuality. Former President Pranab Mukherjee was slowly responding to medical interventions and continued to be on ventilator support today, 4 days after a life-saving emergency brain surgery. Abhijit Mukherjee, the former president's son, said on Twitter, and I quote, "My father is and has always been a fighter. He is slowly responding to medical interventions and all his vital parameters are stable," unquote. Earlier, the Army Hospital Research and Referral has said in a statement that the condition of the 84-year-old former president remained unchanged today morning. The hospital in a statement said, and I quote, "He is deeply comatose with stable vital parameters and he continues to be on ventilator support," unquote. On Wednesday, the hospital had said that the 84-year-old Mukherjee was hemodynamically stable and on ventilator. Mukherjee underwent an emergency brain surgery on Monday for removal of a large clot that had formed after he fell at his home on Sunday night. That's it today from the newsroom. Tune in at 7 a.m. tomorrow for our feature show, The Lead. If you like this show, please share this podcast with your friends, family, and on social media. Do rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Yes, we are on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts. For latest news and top stories of the day, log on to www.deccanherald.com or visit the all-new Deccan Herald app. Check out our e-paper at www.deccanheraldepaper.com. Subscribe to our Telegram channel at t.me/deccanheraldnews. Take care and have a great evening.